Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Our parsha is like all the parshas, a very interesting parsha.
Yes, exactly.
Vayeshev Yaakov be'eretz megurei aviv be'eretz Knan ele toldot Yaakov Yosef. So first of all, we're asking ourselves, what is really Yaakov doing now? Is he settling down? Because what happened right away, right afterwards, is the problem with Joseph. And Rashi says, the Midrash says, Bikesh Yaakov leishev b'shalva. He wanted to settle down and sit quietly and enjoy life. Kafatz alav rugzo shel Yosef. And the story Joseph started. So we are asking ourselves, why? What's wrong? A guy wants to sit down. I'm sure he didn't want to go to the Caribbean and sit on a sunbed and have a girl
planning
him and giving up a glass of wine in the hand. I'm sure he wanted to sit and learn Torah. So what's so wrong settling down, sitting and learning Torah? And what's the connection between this and the story with Joseph? And there is a connection. You see, the point is that Yaakov Avinu, after when going through hell, like he really had a very hard life, running away from his brother and then having to fight with Lavan and working very hard. And now, Baruch Hashem, he's got a whole family. He educated the children very nice. And he wants to settle down. Like he thinks the education part is finished. The Torah comes and tells him, education never finishes. You still educate your kids. And you know, it's very important. You still educate your kids, even when they're at the age of 50 or 60. You are still have to educate them.
And yourself.
And you, of course. If you don't educate yourself, you cannot educate nobody. But the point is that sometimes we think, you know, okay, our children got married. That's it. We don't need to do anything. That's their job now. That's their problem. Yes, from one point of view. But we all know that it doesn't stop. And that's exactly what's happening here. He wanted to settle down, and then the whole story starts with Joseph. And what's the story? Brothers? Those educated brothers? Those holy brothers want to kill their own brother? Showing us, first of all, you didn't finish your education. Because if you would have kept on, maybe this wouldn't happen. And again, it's not a story. It's telling us, what should we do? So first of all, our first conclusion is education never ends. And by the way, you have to understand and realize, you know, a lot of times, it's not educating in telling, it's educating in behavior. Our children and grandchildren look at us as an example. And this is why it never ends. Because they look at us the way we behave. And if they see that we behave correctly and nicely, they do the same. If they see that we're not exactly doing the right things, they also, unfortunately, can learn to do the same. So this is the first episode of our parsha. We never stop teaching, learning, etc. Now, what's exactly happening? Why is Yaakov giving one of the sons this special coat? Is it really possible that he loves Joseph more than the others? That's what's written. Yaakov avat Yosef.
It happens. Every one has special pulling to one.
So I will ask you a question. If you have a favorite son or daughter, whatever, would you show it to the others?
No.
Never.
Never.
What is Yaakov doing?
He's showing it.
Showing it to everybody. And that's why we have to understand, this is not a stupid guy. This is Yaakov Avinu. He dealt with angels. He dealt with Lavan. He dealt with everybody. And he's very successful, whatever he does. Eventually he succeeded. So now he's doing this stupid thing, showing his brother that he loves one more than the others? Impossible. We have to understand what's going on here. Then, the other important question is it really possible that those holy children, those holy brothers, want to kill their own brother? And it's written. It's written very clearly. When we go in, ויראו אותו מרחוק, and they saw him from far away, they didn't even let him come near, ויתנקלו אותו להמיתו. They want to kill him. Here comes, yeah, they want to kill him.
But he was a tattletale too.
So we want to see what is their reason. Now we want to understand also Joseph. Joseph is going and telling the dreams to his brother, and he knows that the brothers don't love him. Why is he telling those dreams, which are, by the way, dreams? I'm going to rule on you. I'm going to control everything. Everybody's going to bow me. Isn't this stupid?
It's
so what's going on here? Are we dealing with a bunch of stupid people? Of course not. We are dealing with our sages. We are dealing with Yaakov, Yosef, the 12 tribes. So what's going on here? So we want to understand, first of all, what is Yaakov doing? Why is he favors and showing it to everybody and brings him and buys him a special coat? The Malbim, one of the Mefarshim, he's got a very interesting way of explaining things. He takes the story and he puts it in a right proportion for us to understand what's behind the scene from the human being point of view. So he says, Yaakov Avinu is favoring Joseph because of a few reasons. But let's first of all understand, he's called Ben Zkunim. What is Ben Zkunim?
He's the last born.
Is he the last boy?
No.
So why is he called the Ben Zkunim? There is another boy, Binyamin.
Yeah.
What's with Binyamin?
That was after.
You know what's with Binyamin? Binyamin never could take the place of Joseph for a very simple reason. What happened when Binyamin came to this world?
His mother.
In other words, each time that Yaakov Avinu is looking at Binyamin, what is he seeing? He remembers that when this child, he loves him of course, but he reminds him all the time that because of him in a certain way, his beloved wife Rachel died. So he can never be the Ben Zkunim. He can do a lot of other things, but Ben Zkunim? No. Joseph is the one he wanted. He's the one from Rachel, the firstborn. He's going in his way, by the way. That's exactly one of the points. It's written, Ele Toldot Yaakov, Yosef. Those are the Toldot of Yaakov, Yosef. Well, he's got only one son. So why is it written Yosef? Because Yosef was going in the same footsteps of Yaakov. And this brings us to the reason why he is giving him a special treatment. First of all, the coat he's giving him is not really showing him that he loves him more than the others. It's because of his job. Because Ben Zkunim explains to us, our sages explain, is not the last born, it's a profession. Or in other words, when the father gets old, one of the kids has to look after him. And this guy is called Ben Zkunim. Normally would be the youngest, because all the others are occupied with all the normal stuff. So the youngest is going to be the one in charge of looking after the parents. Now, because this is his job, he is not going to walk around the house and treating his father with dirty clothes or with work clothes. He needs special clothes to honor his father. The same way as Esav had special clothes every time he went to meet his parents, especially his father. He used to wear
Shabbos
clothes and took the normal clothes at the side. Because when you come to your father, you show him honor. The same way as you come to the queen in England, you won't come with dirty clothes. You will have a special, you need special code of clothes in order to come in front of him.
Even going to Beth Knesset.
Exactly, also the same, because we're going to meet our Father in heaven. So the same way, when we go to honor our parents, we have to look properly, give honor to the situation. And that's why he gave him the special coat. And then he saw in Ruach HaKodesh that Joseph is going to go to the same procedure that he went through. And the Midrash Tanhuma brings us all the comparisons. For example, both were hated by the brother. Yaakov by Esau, and Joseph by his brothers. Both ran away from certain different reasons. Yaakov from Esau, and here they sold him, and he left home, and he was not there. And a lot of other things. He was living amongst goyim, and he was living amongst goyim. And so goes the Midrash and shows us all the details. Now, when Yaakov saw this, he understood he has to give him special tools. You know, he's not going to be like the other brothers. He needs a different situation, a different education, sorry. Why? Because in order to go through what he went, he has to give him the right tools. Chanoch na na'ar al pi darko, gam ki yaskin lo yasur mimena. We have to educate our kids according to their abilities and to what they're going to go through in life. And here, Yaakov, knowing this, gave him a special treatment, not because he loved him more or less, but because Joseph needed it. And by the way, this is the reason that when they come to him later on and bring him the coat with the blood on, and he is saying, wow, I'm going to go to hell. Oratem et sevati biyagon sheola. Going to hell, what? Because your son was killed? What does it have to do with what's the connection? Well, what is? Are you the one to be blamed? Yaakov thinks yes. Because Yaakov knows that Joseph didn't really die. Why? How do we know this? It's called Vayema'en li'inachem. He doesn't take comfort. He's going on mourning. And the Gemara says to us, Gezerah ala met sheishtakach. When somebody dies, God gave us this special power to forget. But if he didn't die, this special power is not there. So we remember. In other words, the fact that Yaakov doesn't take comfort from nobody shows us that inside he feels that Joseph is not dead. And we all know he is not. And look what's happening. So why is he so frightened? Because he's afraid that he didn't give him the right tools, that his education was not enough. And what he saw is he saw what's going to happen with the wife of Potiphar. That he's going to go through a test that it is almost impossible to go through. And he was afraid that he fall there. This is why the next parsha, they come to him and tell him Joseph is alive and he controls all Egypt. And he doesn't believe them. Why?
Because they lied to him before.
But it's very, you know, are they going to lie on a thing like this? It's impossible.
But if he knew before whatever happened to Yosef, why didn't he now also that?
That's exactly the thing. The God shows you what he wants you to see.
Yeah.
He doesn't show you the whole picture. If we all knew the whole picture, we will all behave, believe me, differently. But sometimes God gives us blinks, common sense, and a lot of other things that through them God reveals to us certain things. So, by the way, Yitzchak, when it's written that when they come to Yaakov, it's written very interesting thing in the Vaitabel al bno yamim rabim. He is mourning on his son for many, many days. And all his children come to comfort him, and he doesn't take any comfort. Vayomer ki ered el bni avel sheol. I'm going to go down to hell. Vayef koto aviv. What's this? And his father cried on him. What father? Yitzchak. Because Yitzchak is still in the picture, and Yitzchak knows exactly what's happening. Again, we're talking about Yitzchak and Yaakov. Now, what's really happening here is that Yaakov and Yitzchak know something is wrong. The story is not exactly as it's being told. Then, what's going on with Yaakov? Yaakov is all the time afraid that even if Joseph is alive, and they tell him he rules on Egypt, which means that he's a part of the Egyptian culture. And this for Yaakov is worth than being dead physically. Because Gadol HaMachti'o Yoter Me'orgo. If you make somebody sin, it's worse than you to kill him. Why? Because when you kill him, he still has Olam Haba. Because that's why we're here. We're here for Olam Haba. But if you make him sin, he loses everything. He's got no Olam Haba. In other words, for Yaakov, living means going the way I taught him to go. And when he's got this doubt, he is afraid. Then when they told him, no, we mean he controls Egypt. He is not with them. He is on top of them. He is there controlling everything and still keeps everything the same way as Yaakov did. Im Lavan garti v'tariag mitzvot shamarti. He went through the same procedure. He was dealing with Laban, this evil guy, but he still kept all the Torah. He kept himself as a human being. And this is exactly the education, the tools he gave to Joseph. And what is Joseph seeing when he didn't want, but he was forced to sin with the wife of Potiphar. She sent everybody away, and she is alone with him. She's a beautiful woman. He is a slave. She is the mistress, and she wants to do it with him. Yeah. Now, he is alone. Nobody is going to know about it.
He wouldn't do it.
Why didn't he do it eventually? The Midrash says, he saw his father. What does it mean, he saw his father?
He remembered
the education, the tools that his father gave him. In other words, Yaakov was very successful with education. So now, we understand the point of Yaakov. Let's understand the point of Joseph. Why is Joseph telling them his dreams? Which is also very stupid. He knows that they don't like him. They hate him. It's written quite clearly. And Joseph is also not stupid, as we know when we see through everything he goes through. The Gemara says, if you have a dream and you want to solve the dream, to find what it's all about, when you go to somebody and tell him the dream and he is going to tell you what it means, whatever it tells you is going to happen. What does it mean? That's the Gemara. So, when you have a dream and you want somebody to solve your dream, where would you go? To somebody who hates you or loves you? Loves you. Because if he hates you, he's going to explain the dream in an evil way. So you go to somebody who loves you. Now, Joseph goes to his brother and tells him his dream, showing his brother what? I love you, and I'm sure that you love me, because otherwise I wouldn't come to ask you about the dream. I wouldn't ask you for a solution for the dream. Because if I know you hate me, and I also don't love you exactly, I wouldn't come to you. I would go maybe to my father and tell my father, which, by the way, the second time he's telling also his father. But this time, right, he's really telling it, it's written to his brothers. And the funny thing is that his brother, though they hate him, how do they explain the dream? In a good way. A good way from the point of view of Joseph, but not a good way from their point of view, because what they see is an arrogant young boy who wants to rule and control, and is also a telltale. He goes and tells his father what they're doing in the field, and is like enjoying the way he looks. He looks very nice, a beautiful young boy. He is not suitable to be who? They look in the history, and what do they see? Avram had two sons, and then other children from the Pilakshim. How many children got the message and go to the next generation?
One.
Only Yitzhak. Then Yitzhak has got two children, Yaakov and Esau. Who is the one who takes everything?
Yaakov.
Now, the same story. They see Yaakov taking Joseph and giving him a special coat, teaching him special things. What do they think? He is the chosen one, and we are out of the picture. Now, they don't care if he is the right guy, because they're a tzaddikim. If he is the right guy, let him do it. But what do they see? This arrogant young guy who talks above them, wants to control, wants to rule. He is not exactly the material that can go on. He is not the chosen one. And their father is doing a big mistake. So what should they do? They want to kill him. Because if they don't kill him, there is no Am Yisrael. There is nothing. Everything is finished. And their father doesn't see it. Of course, there are a lot of other things involved here. We have to understand, if God wants something that is planned to work, even if we try not to go through the plan, God is going to make us go through the plan. That's another reason. But now, let's look at it from the point of view of, let's say, a normal human being point of view. So, we understood what Yaakov thinks. We understood now what the brother thinks. And we understood also what Joseph is thinking. Because when he's telling them the dreams, he really wants them to believe him that he loves them. And he wants their love. And that's why he's telling him the dream. But the brothers, what they see is an arrogant guy that is not suitable to be a leader. Definitely not. What is the problem in this story?
Ultimately, he saves them. That they don't see to start working with.
You know what the problem here is? It's a very simple problem.
Yes.
When Joseph, and this, see how Joseph tries very hard to get together with the brother. And he says one of the, let's say, the most strong phrases that are in the Bible. Et echai ani mevakesh. I'm asking for my brother. He looks for his brothers.
Yeah.
It's a very... Whenever I read this pasuk, I get shivers. Like, this is unbelievable. Et echai ani mevakesh. How important is this point? How is it for us to ask for our brothers? But the problem is that they are not there. They don't want the connection. And that's the problem, the connection. Why? When he comes, Vayir'u oto merachok, they see him from far away. Ubeterem ikrav, and before he gets closer to them, they already decide the verdict. In other words, they never let him come near them. They really didn't have any communication. And this is a very important lesson for us. A lot of times we see things, we think something, but instead of asking, is what we're seeing really the truth? Is this guy really evil? Is this guy really righteous? Is this guy really doing what we think he do? Or maybe we're wrong. How can we find out? Connection. Communication. You see somebody's... You see, it's not only communication, it's also connection. Because a lot of times we see only a small part of the picture. And we already come to conclusions. And what do we really see? The Rav Pinkus says it's like somebody looking through the hole in the door. And he sees somebody with a knife cutting somebody. It's a murderer. So he opens the door and he cries, "Murder!" And what does he see? Operation. Operation room. And the doctor is doing an operation. And really, was it the doctor killing the guy or
saving
him? Didn't it happen to you that you think one thing and then you find later on that something else was there?
Yes.
And it's a lot of times like this. That's all a story about Rabbi Aryeh Levin. One day he was going in a levaya of one of the biggest tzaddikim of the generation. In the middle of the levaya, somebody sees that Rav Aryeh Levin goes to a flower shop. Couldn't believe it. He had to follow him. What is Rav Aryeh Levin doing in the middle of a funeral, going to a flower shop to buy flower to his wife? Is this the right moment? Is this the right time? Rav Aryeh Levin? And really, he comes out with his plant. He couldn't believe it.
With what?
With a plant.
Oh.
Atzitz. And, you know, he couldn't he had to ask him. He says, Kvod Arav, Rabbi, I want to understand. You know, this is a Levaya. And you give the last honor to a guy. This is a very important mitzvah. And in the middle of this, you go and buy plants. And Rabbi told him, this morning, I've been in the leper's home. He used to visit the leper's home every week. He used to visit all the prisoners in jail. He was a real, real tzaddik. A real tzaddik. Not somebody who sits and learns and does nothing. A tzaddik that really does unbelievable things. And at that morning, he went to the leper, and somebody of the leprosy died. And the problem is, when somebody of them die, you have to burn everything. You cannot leave anything because it's very contagious. And he had tefillin. And they wanted to burn the tefillin. He says, you cannot burn this. It's a holy thing. He says, you know what? There are two things that we can do. Either we bury it or we burn it. Now, to bury it, we've got no sand here. We've got no place we can bury it. So he said, let me think about it. Ask him, let me till the evening to think about it. He says, you've got till the evening, but if you don't come back with a solution in the evening, we burn it. It's nothing we can do. You cannot put it in gniza. It's contagious. You cannot. You have to burn it. So it was, I was going to the Levant. Suddenly I saw this flower shop. I said, I've got an idea. I'm going to buy a plant with a lot of sand in it. And then I'm going to the hospital and I'm going to bury the tefillin in the sand of the pot. Now, who could think about a thing like this? I'm saying, but who, when somebody saw it from the outside, could he believe this? No. For him it was sure. The guy in the middle of a levaya goes, that's exactly a big lesson for us to know. If we see something, we don't like it, we like it, the first thing in life is communication. This whole problem in the parsha, if you think about it, is communication. Why? If Yaakov Avinu would have told his children, dear children, Joseph is going to go through a certain procedure, I have to give him special tools. If the brother would ask Joseph, why do you tell our father what we did? And then they could explain to him, this is not what you saw, because it wasn't what he saw. He thought he saw certain things, but it wasn't right. So Joseph was also wrong. And then with his dreams, he could have told them, you know, this is the dream I dreamt. And Yaakov Avinu knows that the dream is right, because he says, Va'aviv shamar et hadavar. And his father kept it. So in other words, he says, when is it going to happen? So why don't you tell the children? In other words, if you look, the first thing in life is communication. Something bothers you? Ask. Look, maybe it's not what you think. You have a fight with somebody. You know, somebody, people fight on such stupid things. He didn't invite me to the wedding of his child. What a chutzpah. All the children are invited for all the weddings, and he didn't invite him for the wedding. Maybe he forgot. It happens. You know, I had one of my best friends coming to the wedding of one of my sons, and I forgot to put him on a table. And, you know, comes to me. It's the wedding already. Like before the wedding, he says, I cannot find the card. And I did not know what to do. So I went directly behind and says, where is he? And he showed, you didn't put him on any table. Now, this is I didn't know what to do. It's one of my best friends. What do you think? I didn't think about it. But you know, when a wedding, you have a lot of things going on. Sometimes you forget. I immediately found the table and I put him on him and I put the note on. It says, I found it. Here's a. But you see, that's exactly what's happening to us all the time. So before we come to conclusions, check, see. It's not what you think. We see something from far away. You know, today, unfortunately, I cannot see. I can see a friend on the other side of the street. I don't see so good. What can I do? And he got insulted. I didn't say hello. Go explain to him you didn't see. Now, if he's a good friend, understand and realize it's got common sense, he will ask you, didn't you see me? He says, no, unfortunately, I need the glasses to see you. What can I do? So everything comes into place. And that's one of the biggest lessons of parsha. Connection. Somebody bothers you? Ask. Talk about it. If all, and of course, let's put things in proportion. We're talking about really high, high level things. But for us simple people, that's for what we should learn from it. If all the figures here had the communication, the whole picture looked differently. But don't forget for a minute, it had to happen. It had to happen. Yes. Don't forget for a minute. Because this is why we see next parsha, Joseph becomes the king of Egypt. In other words, everything is for the better. Everything is for the
Absolutely.
Good. So, our lesson for today is communication. And understand that education and communication is something that is going on all the time.